So the Lord has given me two exhortations to give to you this morning. God wants you to be encouraged. Sometimes having faith for the future is simply remembering what God has done in the past. God wants you to remember his track record with you, that he has never failed you and he never will, people, never. If we can turn to him in faith, he will always be able to be there for us. And next, encouragement is, be grateful that God is allowing you to see what is unfolding, because this will be one of the greatest hours of God's church, this beloved remnant. Those who now sleep, who are dead in Christ, are not so blessed. Ask yourself, why me? Why now? Because you've been chosen, and God makes no mistakes. You were chosen to be part of his plan. If you can see this revelation with your spiritual eyes, that you are here by divine appointment and anointing, then this will raise your faith and confidence sky high. You are part of this great chapter, intentionally, with great deliberation, and so you are honored by the King as part of his elite, as part of this chosen for this hour. He has faith in you. He has confidence in you. I need to bring up the two admonitions. One of them was the day of prayer. First of all, today is a very poor showing for church. We're going to have to change that. If we're going to proceed forward, people, as a church, we need to have people show up. Amen. There's all kinds of crazy little excuses why people are skipping church. This came up, that came up, we went on vacation again, and so on. Not in this hour. I would be walking a lot more circumspect than that. But the day of prayer, we had four men show up. It was Tino, it was Bud and Beam, it was Gilbert and Steve, and then, of course, Pastor. And again, that's a very poor showing for such an incredibly important thing. So I'm going to play two clips for you right now, but they're not long at all, but they're very, very important. And I believe that the Lord wants you to hear this. So let me play the first one.
Listen, I don't need to be sober-minded and wide awake. Israel just hit Iran last night with the largest airstrikes ever conducted from Israel on Iran. Iran and Saudi Arabia are getting ready to start holding joint military drills. I don't think many people would realize how dangerous. Matthew 24 and Jesus has not been from the beginning of the world until now and never will. Those days had not been cut short. No human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. I'm telling you guys, we're headed into a dark time in history. We need strong leadership. We need the Lord on our side. We need walk in righteousness and holiness, because the things that are coming upon the earth are going to be something that we can't even imagine. And we need to be strong and we need to be ready. Yep.
So this minister is out of Texas. He's an awesome, awesome, very down to earth. He's not dramatic. He really downplays things, but he is pretty accurate scripturally. It's been amazing to find someone, you know, on the caliber that we strive to be, you know, accurate in the word. And that's what he has to say. And, you know, here we have four people show up for prayer. The thing is, people, is that if you have young men in your home that you know are going to be of military age or are of military age, I would be running to every day of prayer. I would insist on us praying as a church, because we multiply our effects. One can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. 10,000 demons to flight off of our children, our youth, our futures, everything. So let me read a couple of scriptures. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And what is someone who practices lawlessness? It's someone who does not do the will of the Father, what he is asking us to do. And with all my heart, I believe that God is calling us to pray as a church, as a corporate body. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. When you obey, especially a directive from your pastors, from the leadership, to come and pray in corporate, this is who you are. Liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. People, what are we building on? Prayer is probably the most critically important thing to do in this hour. And again, with your pastor there as a corporate body, praying and interceding for your homes, for your children, for your future, for everything. I cannot think of anything more important. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, now here's the caveat, if my people, are we his people? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. It takes humility to say, you know what, nothing is more important than me showing up to pray for my household, to pray for my children. It requires you humbling yourself. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's what these nights are about, praying and seeking God's face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God will heal your land. When you set yourself to pray, and especially people in corporate prayer, under the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, establishing things on the earth right now, then understand that your land will be healed. Who cares what's going on in the world? But it requires us doing our part and bringing God into the picture. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up against him. But it requires us going before the Lord and asking him to do that. It requires us praying for him to do that. So we need to ask ourselves, is prayer of God? Is it his will for his people to pray? Then why are we struggling to pray, especially as a corporate body? Lord, where are you? Where are you? And after knowing we've been chosen by the Lord and we were born for such a time, you carry an accountability and responsibility because you have been chosen for this hour. Not to be on the sidelines, freaking out or rooting for your team or that team. It's for us to participate in the winning of the victory for the church of the Lord. Amen? And then, or do you not consider prayer as important? That's the message, clear and loud. When we do not show up for days of prayer, and we're going to pick up the days of prayer where the women can join us as well. Or do you not consider prayer as important? What else is more important than covering everything in the blood of the Lamb? Again, under a corporate anointing. Or do we as pastors no longer carry the spiritual leadership and impact in your life to gather you as a church to pray? I wonder about that. When I see people, oh, I'm on vacation, oh, I just didn't make it, oh, I didn't feel very good, oh, I have this to do, I have this to do. Then, you know, the message you're sending to me, I'm speaking for me, is that, you know, pastor, you're not that important, and you know what, I'm going to do my thing. And that's a very serious place to be, people, because we all need a pastor. Thank God, my pastor is in my life. I glorify God for that. So, Proverbs 24:30, we're still talking about prayer. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little laziness, a little partying, a little vacationing, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty and your destruction come like a prowler. So, and your need like an armed man. So, Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are supposed to be gathering to encourage one another. I can't think of something more beautiful than the band of brothers that God called to this church, meeting and praying and interceding God's will into the earth. The next thing is, and the last thing, is the election. Now, this has come to my door. I, you know, every year we trust you guys, we believe God that all of us will do right, you know, in regards to the elections. And but it's come to my door now a few times, and one, like, almost every single time, it's been very hostile, very aggressive, very intense in an attempt to push us towards, or to push me towards a certain party or a certain direction. So I have to address it. The Lord told me to. So there's a separation of church and state that has been wrongly taught. We have been taught. One of the conversations I had was someone called me incredibly angry and yelling, basically. I ended up having to stop. I said, I can't talk anymore. I have to go, because they would not listen, and they were just yelling, telling me that there's no way that a church should ever mention politics or anything like that. And I'm telling you, we've been taught very wrong. God was very much involved with the governing authorities in the land. And I'm going to send you a link from a minister that did, he did a message on this grave error of the church shrinking back from even mentioning politics in the church. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, when God's chosen people are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. This scripture right here tells us that God cares who's in authority. He absolutely is involved in his people. We are his people, and we're here on the earth still. So whatever happens in our governing authorities is important to him. Number one, make sure you vote. Whatever you're going to vote, make sure you vote. It is extremely important that you show up and take accountability as a citizen of the United States of America. Number two, as a pastor, I am obligated to admonish you to vote Bible. I'm not going to shrink back from that, people. And I've been pushed and pushed and pushed trying to shut that down. And I have found that a lot of people that don't want to hear me say we need to pray Bible are people that are wanting to vote for their little agendas and their little special things that they want to keep. But we ought to be seeking God, and what does he have to say about this? So, as a pastor, I am obligated to admonish you to vote Bible. The abortion issue, pro-Israel, LGBTQ community, keep God in the picture, like the days of prayer in our capital, the Ten Commandments posted in public arenas, being allowed to continue as a Christian nation, not having churches shut down. They are now, in England, they just passed a law that even if you pray in your mind, you can be prosecuted for praying in your mind. They caught a man with his eyes closed praying in his mind, not even out loud, and they took him, they imprisoned him. Amen. And a woman was taken in because she was praying outside an abortion clinic. She's now going to spend 3.5 years in prison. So that we continue as a Christian nation, and then prayer and Bibles in schools, and that's starting to happen, thank God. As for me, I don't identify Republic or Democrat. If anything, I call myself independent. No party is perfect. No man has all the answers for all the worldwide issues that we're facing. And it's worldwide, people. We are now involved in a worldwide situation. I'm not voting for any man or any woman. I try my best to vote for God's righteous causes. I look for God on that ballot every time I vote. So please be aware of where you stand spiritually. Be aware of what you truly believe. There's no way that we can vote contrary to God's very, very critical righteous causes and then say, well, I am a Christian, I am a believer. That's being double-minded. Amen. I'm going to play one last clip and we're done. I don't know if you were able to hear any of it at all, but you could hear it at all?
Not at all.
But I wanted to encourage you, please, the day of prayer is a must for you. It's a must for you. If you have a spouse, you need to come and make sure they're covered in the blood of the Lamb. If you have children, you need to come and make sure they are covered in the blood of the Lamb. And if you have pastors, and we are your pastors, then you need to heed the call to come and do God's business. We're not asking you to show up to pray for us. God, we need you to come and pray for us on Friday night because, you know, we need extra covering or we haven't been able to pray ourselves or whatever. It's not for us. This is for you to multiply your effectiveness and your power. We love you dearly. I love you dearly. And people, believe me when I tell you I was gentle compared to what some ministers are saying now to their flocks. And I love you. I want you to do right. I want you to end strong. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening.